So I was looking for a mic for Gabby. She's already got it, though. So Gabby is going to help me preach today. And what we were just worshiping about, Jesus has given us so much in this new life. And today, in this whole series, we're looking at Ephesians 4 because we know, just like Derek was praying, that we're not perfect yet. If we're going to take hold of what Jesus has given us, that we're not going to be able to do it on our own, that we're going to need some other folks around us, and that we're going to need God to show us the way. And in Ephesians 4, he gives us a lot of instructions about how to treat each other to take hold of that new life. And so today, we're going to be talking about how would it look to live out Ephesians 4 in a small group. Just like Kyle was talking about, that was his first real step on this journey with Jesus, or one of the important first steps. Getting engaged in a small group, getting guys who were really involved in his life. So we're going to start off, though, before we get into Ephesians, with a story about a nurse. So normally when you think about nurses, think about these really sweet, innocent, helpful people, right? You think of them as, like, kind. You don't think of them as aggressive or angry. But Gabby made one very aggressive and very angry at one point in her life. So tell us, how did you get to that spot to tick off a nurse so bad, and what happened eventually, okay?
Yeah. So just a little bit of a backstory. So for me, in my past life, I was just on a suicide mission, and I was literally just wanting to die. So for me, I was homeless, and I was staying in this homeless shelter, and I was just at this point in my life where I was just ready to give up. I just didn't. When I woke up every morning, I was like, why did I wake up today? That's like how it was for me. Like, why did I wake up? And I ended up getting really, really sick, and I was in this homeless shelter, and I ended up being able, like, not to walk and stuff. And so they called an ambulance at this homeless shelter, and I ended up in the hospital. And when I got to Truman, they told me that I was in liver failure, and they had to ship me to KU, the ICU. And so when I got to KU, I was just acting crazy. So in the ICU, they don't really have bathrooms because most people can't even walk, you know, so they just have this curtain. So I would have, you know, I had brought drugs into the hospital, and I decided I was just going to go behind the curtain and do the drugs. Well, the nurses aren't dumb, you know, they know when you go behind the curtain 10 times what you're doing. So this nurse flipped the curtain over. And so for me, I was an IV drug user, and I had hepatitis C really bad. And I was actually dying from liver failure from hepatitis C, had gotten so bad. And so this nurse, actually knowing I had hepatitis C, wrestled me for my needle and for my drugs. And I'll never forget this look that she gave me, like, what are you doing? Like, you're in the ICU, you're on the transplant list. Like, and they told me, they're like, we have to take you off the transplant list. We can't give you another liver. Like, what are you going to do with that liver, you know? So, so I was just at that point in my life to where it didn't matter, you know, what. I just couldn't stop using drugs.
So that facial expression from the nurse that made such an impact on Gabby, just like, how can you be doing this to yourself? Gabby, sitting in that hospital room, her mind was still thinking, how can I use? Whereas this nurse who's trying to take care of her is thinking, how can you use, like, how on earth can you be wanting to do that? And Gabby's mind had gone so far down that road that the things she wanted were the very things that were literally killing her. And taking her off of any hope, at least medically, of like, you need a transplant, well, you're not going to get it now because of what you've just done. You know what I mean? Like, this is a really bleak spot to be in. And what happens in somebody's mind to get them there? Well, it's something that happens anytime we're choosing our own way over God's way. That's what gets described to us, these first few verses we're going to read in Ephesians. Paul says in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Gentiles, at that point, he's classifying everybody that's distant from God, not going God's way. He says their thinking is futile, futile. Like, the way that they're going, it's not going to produce anything good. the way their brain worked doesn't produce good actions or good thoughts, okay? If you think about your own life, you may have been at a spot like that at some point where maybe you even see that pattern currently. Like the way my brain works, it's trying to hurt me. It's trying to do bad things, hurt the people around me. Mm-hmm. Verse 18, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You get this mental image of a person in like a dark room. Of course, they can't help but hurt themselves and run into things and to have a painful time because they can't see how to do better, right? Mm-hmm. And it says that there's an ignorance and because their hearts have been hardened. Gabby's going to talk to us about hard hearts here in just a second, but one more verse. It says, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. See this person who maybe at some point in life they cared about other people. Maybe at some point in life they did good things, but they've made all these choices and steps, and their heart has gotten harder and harder and harder until there's no sensitivity. There's no feeling left. And they don't even feel guilty about stuff that would have horrified them earlier in their life. And they don't even feel bad about it. And it's because, and what's driving them is they indulge in impurity. This idea of they're going to do something bad as like their treat or their goal that they're shooting for. And it says that they're full of greed. So Gabby's going to talk to us a little bit more about heart of heart. Before we get there, though, I just want to throw out something on their greed. It's real easy to just like jump over. They're full of greed. But at the heart of the greed is this image of more for me. It's this hoarding or this more, more, more. And our society big into greed. And Jesus in Luke 12:15, he says, watch out for all kinds of greed. More types of greed than just, oh, I got to get a bunch of money in the bank. Okay? Greed is about, I want more, more, more for me. And a lot of us live our life for more for me. And when you live that way, you're hardening your heart. Your heart gets harder and harder and harder until you don't even feel when you're hurting yourself or when you're hurting other people. So, Gabby, break it down for us a little more about this hard heart idea.
Well, you know, and I think for me, when I was growing up, when I was in high school and stuff, I played sports, and I never thought growing up that I would just become like this homeless drug addict. Like, that wasn't the plan for my life when I was young, you know? It was just the way I decided to live. And so I feel like for me, a hard heart is there was a point in my life to where I felt like I was too far gone. Like, there was no saving me. There was no changing Gabby. I'm sure that maybe my parents thought the same things. I'm sure the nurse was looking at me like, what is wrong with this girl? You know, I don't know if she knew a lot about drugs or alcohol, but just the nurses. Like, even then, when I was, like, mean to them, cussing them out, they were still pretty nice to me. But they would all just, like, I was 23 at that time. I was just, like, a kid, you know? And all these nurses are just like, what is going on with her? Like, why can't she stop using drugs? And so for me, even just looking at someone else's life, like for me, I never think anybody's too far gone. I always pray for that person because I know Jesus is real. He has already overcome, and he can overcome anything.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I mean, the reason that Gabby's standing here is Jesus didn't give up on Gabby, obviously. And Gabby's, I mean, this whole story, we can't get into all of it today, but miraculous stuff that Jesus didn't give up on her in that hospital room, even when she's still using. It's not that Gabby got to just play around with problems forever. I mean, Gabby had to start making hard choices, but Jesus never gave up on her. And just like that nurse, Jesus was willing to say, I'll get into the mix of the mess, and even if it hurts me, to bring you out of it. Like, that's what Jesus did for us. So that's the negative side of stuff, right? But you probably came through the snow today for more than just the negative side, right? And so these verses are going to go on to, that's how we're not supposed to live, but what are we supposed to do? Okay, so here's verse 20 picks up on this. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. Interesting here, he uses the word learn. You can learn a different way to live. No matter what you've been doing all your life, this verse right here says you can learn a different way with with God's help, what he's talking about here, you could learn a different way. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, some of that truth we see here in Gabby, that Jesus can save you and change you, you'll say, here's the keys of my life. You'll say, I'll do it your way. Jesus will give you new life. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So the lesson isn't just Jesus is going to fix all your problems. Less it is, Jesus is going to fix you when you start handling things the way he tells you how to handle them. You know what I mean? Like, it's different here. He's saying, put off your old self. Don't do the things you used to do because those are deceitful desires driving that. And you've all probably realized that. Like, when you do things to just be greedy or just to do it easy way or whatever feels good to you, it doesn't give you the things that it promises. We've all made decisions where we thought, like, oh, this is going to make me safe, and instead we lost a lot of things we cared about. Or we made decisions about, this will make me not feel lonely, mm-hmm. and then we felt more isolated and alone and misunderstood, right? We got to a place, oh, this is going to make me feel good and happy, and instead we felt weak and in pain, right? We've all had those sorts of experiences because those desires are lying to us. So you don't follow, don't be a fool and keep following. Here's what it says in verse 23. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. This verse and one more verse, what we're going to really focus in on from here on out, is there's two steps that it talks about. The first one is your thinking has to change. If you're going to be who Jesus wants you to be, you've got to let Jesus get in here and change things. So Gabby, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so in Romans 12:2, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I know for me to start thinking different, then I have to start feeding my spirit. I can't be feeding my flesh and start thinking differently. I have to, you know, get in God's word and find the truths about myself and stop believing those lies that I always believed, always. But if you're not getting into God's word and you're not actually feeding your spirit, then it's not going to, spiritual things aren't going to come out of you. Those fleshly desires will still come out. And I just feel like we have to be renewed. We have to start changing the way we think by reading God's word and actually applying it to our lives.
And Kevin's got another thought here, but real quick on the sensitivity thing that was talking about. Pay attention to yourself. If you've been walking with Jesus for a little bit of time, when you're close to Jesus, you get sensitive to whether you've spent time with him or not. You notice, oh man, I didn't read my Bible this morning and now I'm having a bad afternoon.
Right.
But if you get distant from Jesus, you don't even notice. You don't even feel like you're off, right? So check in with yourself a little bit. Like, how sensitive are you right now? Do you notice when you don't read the Bible in the morning or when you don't pray? Because if you're not even noticing it, like, that means you've lost some sensitivity already. But you've got an awesome illustration here, or just image or idea here, of this emotional volume knob. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so emotions. How many of us run on emotions? Okay, yeah.
That's two hands. And so, yeah.
So for me, my last relapse, what happened was is I got mad at someone. So someone yelled at me over a dog situation, and I ended up leaving the recovery house, and I was like, I'm done with that, just because they yelled at me. There's a lot of things that happen in our life where our emotions, we need to just turn them down. We need to choose to say yes to God. And if our emotions don't match with God's word, then our emotions are lies also.
You want to say that again? That was really good. Just that last slide, yeah.
What did I say? No, just kidding.
Yeah.
I said if our emotions don't match up with God's word, then our emotions are lies. So that's like, I know a big one for people is lusting. If our emotions don't match up with God's word, then they are lies. A big one is anger. You know, that was the one that led me out the last time, was getting into a fight with someone at a recovery house, and I was like, I don't need this, I'm gone, and I left over a dog. You know, it was something silly, small, and if I would have just learned how to interact with people and just stop reacting to situations, my life can go a lot smoother.
Yeah. So Yeah. So, Gabby, tell us a little more detail. You with the dog story, you got upset. Mm-hmm. Who did you call when you got upset?
Yeah, so when I got upset at a recovery house, I got yelled at. I went outside to smoke a cigarette. That was when I smoked. And I accidentally let one of the dogs out in wintertime. And so I let one of the dogs out, and someone yelled at me. And instead of calling my sponsor, instead of calling, you know, one of my friends from church, I decided to call my ex-boyfriend. And I was just like, I can't do this whole recovery thing. I need to get out of here. They're mean to me. You know, it was all about me. They're mean to me. I didn't do anything wrong. And it was just like I was back to that old way of living again. One phone call.
And that was, and that directly led to then you're in the hospital. That was
So a couple months later, I ended up in the ICU from that one decision, that one bad day, that one emotion that I just couldn't handle.
So that's where it gets scary, right? Is you see, like, wow, if I don't handle things right, it can do a domino effect. And you can have some safety nets in your life, people that will step in and help you not just fall off the deep end, but you can't build those in the moment of your crisis. You know, if Gabby had a small group of folks that was close to her and chasing after her, might have been a different story quicker than it was.
Yeah.
And for you today, like, you don't want to wait until your emotional dial is all the way up to 11. You want to build those healthy things, and you want to let those people in to see the real you. And probably not even just once a week. You want to have some real connection with them during the week so that they can actually be there when stuff goes wrong. You can call them and talk to them about it. Stuff goes wrong, you can say, this is what I'm thinking, and they can say, well, that's wrong. This is what the Bible says. And you can actually listen to somebody telling you you're wrong. You got to have a friendship built to be able to do that. So I said that was one verse, changing our thinking. What's the next verse? Our last verse for today is, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So these are active words, righteousness and holiness. Do the right thing, to be set apart from unclean things, be set apart for a purpose. That's what those words are getting at.
That's right.
And so what Jesus is saying here is that, like, I've given you a new life, and it has a purpose. It's created so you can be like God. None of us would have written that about ourselves, like, oh, you've been messing up your life so far. What do you want at your next, you know, what do you want to do different? Well, I want to become like God. I mean, we think, like, that's a crazy person, right? Someone wrote that. He doesn't mean become like God, like, you know, some sort of giant cosmic thing. What he means is become like God, just like God sends, you know, sunshine and on everybody, whether they've treated him well or not. It's like God gives all these blessings and mercy, whether people have treated him well or not. Be loving, to be generous, to be kind, to be patient. These are God-like traits. Jesus is saying, I saved you for a purpose. I created you to be like God, the way that he acts, and the way that he's set apart from a lot of the bad decisions other people are making. So, Gabby, talk to us about, you know, when we see that bar is so high, to be like God, is there a decision we can make today that would make that easier each of our coming days?
So for me, one big decision that I had to face was just giving up all those relationships and all those people that I used to hang out with. And I think finding new people and new relationships is coming to Wednesday night small groups. And that's what this is about, is letting our old self go and becoming new with godly people. If I wanted to change the way that I think and act, and I have to get into God's word, but I also have to be surrounded by people. And if there's someone that you look up to, someone you want to be like, join their group and just start doing the things that they do, and you'll see your life change dramatically. So for me, it was Amanda's monk group. And when I went in there, she handed me a list of discipleship values. And she's like, so if you want to join my group, you have to do all this. And I was like, there's like 10 things, okay? And I was like, what? I didn't know that was part of joining a class. And, you know, But I wanted to be in her class, so I did it, you know, and I decided, she's like, look, this class, she basically said it like, this class don't play around. Like, we're not, you know, like, we're actually getting into God's word. We're changing our lives. And that's really what I needed. I needed someone to be hard on me and to be intentional with me, to give me a list of things that I couldn't do because I actually didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to start, where to begin. And it was joining that Wednesday night small groups that I began to learn like who I really am in Christ. And I'm not who I used to be, and thank Jesus for that. So.
Yeah. So Gabby, tell us a few of those things that were on that list, things that stick out.
So there was like no cussing, no having sex outside of marriage. There was like read your word, no smoking. I can't remember all of them, but
that's okay. So
what it was is it was like something and then it had a Bible verse to go with it. Yeah. Like it was like, don't do this, and this is in the Bible where you can find not to do that. Yeah. So
here's the thing, it's easy to hear like Gabby talk about, makes these decisions, you know, get rid of some of these old influences in your life, hang around with better people, make all these big decisions in your life. It's easy to hear that stuff and think, oh, that's good. I'm going to try to do a little more of that. Well, a little more of that is pretty hard to pull off. Like if you could think of a person, person A over here, they think, oh, I'm going to try to hang out a little bit more with some good Christian folks. And people from my old life call me, I'm going to try to decide every single time, like, is that a good thing for me to go do or is it not? And it's like, for person number A, they're going to get called or texted or messenger or whatever. It's like, hey, do you want to come to go do this? Well, should I go do that? Should I not? What's the best thing? And they're going to get all those all throughout the day. And 3 or 4 days into this, they're just going to be tired of thinking, like, should I or should I not? And they're just going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go hang out or go do whatever. But if you make, like, a hard, fast decision, like, if this person over here says, like, I'm done with all the people that have led me astray in the past, I'm going to delete them all from my phone. I'm going to tell them all, like, hey, I'm going to get a year sobriety before I come back to any of this. And then say, like, I'm only hanging out with people that have got the type of life that I want to have. If there's no more decisions to be made in the day-to-day, like, you've already made the big decision. So now it's downhill to keep following Jesus. You've made it easier on yourself every other day by making a hard decision on the front end. There's lots of things in life that you can do that on. You just say, like, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to make one hard decision so that 1,000 decisions are easier. For Gabby, it was the people she was around. For you, it might be how you spend your time. It might be how you spend your money. But I want you thinking during this reflection time or during the response time here in just a minute, what's one thing that you could do today that would put on a new self? You'd say, like, I'd become a different person if I just did that different thing. I'd be more like God. I'd be more like Jesus in the way I act if I changed this one thing in my life. Because if you change one thing in your life, like it was worth facing the snow today, right? You take a step with Jesus that changes you, it was worth it, right? So, Gabby, do you have anything to close on? Final thought for us?
I would just say to join a small group, to get involved here at Maywood, to finally be a part of something. It feels good to be a part of something. So.
Something else that sticks out to me from Gabby's story, she found people that she could say, I'm going to do what you think I should do. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. Found Amanda Monk and these other folks in her life. If you don't have somebody like that in your life that challenges you to change, then you're going to have a hard time changing. So Derek and Sandra are going to come up and lead us in a response. There's going to be small group leaders and our coaches and stuff down here to pray. You get to decide today, though, what's the decision you want to make, to think different or to act different? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for saving Gabby. God, that you miraculously healed her, that you brought her into a new life, that you created her to act more like you, to be like you. I pray for more of that here at Maywood. In your name we pray. Amen.